Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion at the 12th Hour. In the Liberty Hill, Texas, today is July 21, 2014, or it's the 25th day of the 4th lunar month, 2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Farther Along. Tempted and tried, we're off me to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. Are there others living about us, never molested, though in the throng? Are there along with no hold about it? Are there along with understand why? Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken the loved one, it leaves our home so lonely and dream. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year? Farther along with no hold about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death, said our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait, cause of the road will them seen as nothing, as we speak through the beautiful day. Farther along with no hold about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Yahshua coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in the bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along with no hold about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. The despoiler spoils are taken by the Lamb and the weak. We're in Time of Greeting, Volume 1, Number 34, by the V.T. Harda. Text of address, March 29, 1947. First, we're going to defer to a prayer thought taken from Lamentations, Chapter 4. It says, how is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? For the stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. For the precious sons of the Zion some parables of fine gold. How are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? Even the sea monsters draw out the breast. They give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people has become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man breaketh it unto them. They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in the scarlet embrace dunghills. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of the Sodom, and that was overthrown as in a moment, and no hand stayed on her. Her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was a sapphire. Their visage is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered. It has become like a stick. They that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with the hunger. For these pine away, stricken through for the want of the fruits of the field. The hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. For the Yahweh hath accomplished his fury. He hath poured out his fierce anger and hath kindled a fire in Zion. What is Zion? Mount Zion at the 11th hour, 2002. And it hath devoured the foundations thereof. So what happened to Gilead Center? A fire was kindled in her. She was called Mount Zion at the 11th hour. Okay. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. Well, they have entered into the gates of Jerusalem today. That's where the adversaries were at today. Why? Because the daughter of my people are being, he says, that for the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom. And that was overthrown as in a moment, and no hand stayed on her. So Jerusalem, because of her her infidelity over there in the land, those evil leaders, they are trying to get along with the homosexuals, the very thing that Yahweh just condemns as an abomination of the earth. He overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah because of it. And here you have the Seventh-day Adventist Church allowing homosexual men and women as preachers and having their own Adventist churches. That's because them Jesuits have infiltrated and taken over the Adventist Church, and they're nothing but a bunch of pedophiles, the Jesuits are. They're worse than evil. And they've taken over the Adventist Church. They've taken over Jerusalem and the land of Israel. So you wonder why Yahweh's house is in such disarray everywhere? He's calling upon the house of David to purify himself and to get on top of all this stuff, where that he can make them ruler over all of these nations and over all the kingdoms of Israel. Let's continue on. Lamentations 4, verse 13. For the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests that have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her, they have rewarded as blind men in the streets. They have polluted themselves with the blood so that men could not touch their garments. They cried unto them, Depart ye, it is unclean. Depart, depart, touch not. When they fled away and wandered, they said among the heathen, They shall no more sojourn there. For the anger of the Yahweh hath divided them. He will no more reward them. For they respected not the persons of the priests. They favored not the elders. As for us, our eyes as yet failed for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us. Alright, so we have watched for a nation that could not save us. The nation of Israel cannot save its people over there in the land of Israel. Jerusalem cannot save her people. They hunt our steps that we cannot go in our streets. Who hunts their steps over there? Those Palestinians. As soon as three little Israeli youth were caught by themselves hitchhiking in Gaza. Okay, here comes those Arabs. Picked them up and went and took them and killed them. Okay. They hunt our steps that we cannot go in our own streets. Our end is near. Our days are fulfilled. For our end is come. This is a prophecy for right now, folks. Our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of the heaven. They pursued us upon the mountains. They laid wait for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Yahweh, was taken in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow we shall live among the heathen. That's what Israel said. Let's give the Palestinians part of our land for their own state. Yeah, we can make a deal with them if they will guarantee us that they will live peaceably alongside of us and with us. But you don't make a deal with a rattlesnake. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, that dwelleth in the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass through unto thee. Thou shalt be drunken and shalt make thyself naked. This is the Adventist Church. It's Edom over here in the United States. This is Edom. And it says there in Revelation 3:14 that I counsel thee to buy me gold trodden in fire. He's talking to the angel of the seventh candlestick. He's talking to the prophet over the Adventist Church. And he said, so the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. He says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he says that in Revelation 3. Okay, for the punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no more carry thee away into captivity. He's talking to the Mount Zion at the 12th hour now. He says, he will never no more carry us away into captivity. He will visit thine iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will discover thy sin. And he visited the iniquity of the daughter of Edom at Kermit, Texas, 2002. Took him a whole year to punish them for their iniquity. He gave them a whole year to repent. He gave them a whole year. He wouldn't do it, so he took the whole year from 2002 to 2003 and Passover to Passover, and he punished them for their iniquity. Okay, now it says in Lamentations chapter 5, remember, O Yahweh, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with the bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Princes are hanged up by their hand. The faces of the elders were not honored. They took the young men into grind and the children fell under the wood. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from the music. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. For this our heart is faint, and for these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of the Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Thou, O Yahweh, remaineth forever. Thou throne generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever, and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Yahweh, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. Yes, I would say he is very wroth against us. Even the house of David here. We've drug our feet way too long. He's calling for us to come up to the help of the Yahweh at this time. That brings us to the end of our prayer thought. We're going to go now into our main study. We're going to pick up just a little bit from our last study and finish it out, and then come on into our main study today, that the spoiler spoiled, taken by the lame and the weak. It says, in our yesterday study, the dispersion, the time, and the deliverance, we had a little bit more to go on Isaiah 32:15. It says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Here we are told that the people are to be among the Gentiles, and the land remain desolate until the Spirit be poured upon them from on high. Then will they return. We have now already seen the reason for the dispersion, and that the pouring of the Spirit marks the people's deliverance. Yes. And then no longer will their land be in a captivity, no longer will their houses be desolate. Even the wilderness shall become a fruitful field, and a fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. There shall be then an abundant harvest of the souls, Isaiah 32:16-20. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in a fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in assured dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Then it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, and that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Now what have we learned from these two chapters of the Isaiah? Actually, we have had a summary of the subject which the previous chapters treated. Now, even more vividly than before, we see that the ancient Israel's idolatry forced Elohim to permit them to be ruled by the Assyrians. He is, however, well able to deliver them when his people hear his plea and lay aside their idols, when they turn again unto the Yahweh. When this great revival and reformation called for in this chapter is finally effected, thus it is that through the voice of the Yahweh shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod, Isaiah 30:31. Henceforth a king shall reign in righteousness. Then the vile persons and the hypocrites shall be treated as such. In that day shall there be a great and glorious harvest of the soul. Now that we have plainly seen the time, the need, and the deliverance, let us, brother and sister, bring that day closer by parting with all our idols and turning our hearts fully and unreservedly unto our Elohim. Okay, that ends that part. Let us now take up the prayer thought for our next study. And that's the spoiler spoiled, taken by the lame and the weak. Prayer thought is, come to Elohim as little children, taken from the Mount of Blessing, page 191. But do not forget that in coming unto Elohim as a father, you acknowledge your relation to him as a child. You not only trust his goodness, but in all things yield unto his will, knowing that his love is changeless. You give yourself to do his work. It was unto those whom he had bidden to seek first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness that Yahshua gave the promise, ask and ye shall receive. For the gifts of him who has all power in heaven and earth are in store for the children of Elohim. Gifts so precious that they come unto us through the costly sacrifice of the Redeemer, of the Redeemer's blood, a gift that will satisfy the deepest craving of the heart. Gifts are lasting as eternity, will be received and enjoyed by all who will come unto Elohim as little children. Take Elohim's promises as your own, feed them before him as his word, and you will receive fullness of the joy. Let us pray for the realization that our relationship unto Elohim is as a child's relationship to his parent. That we trust Elohim in all things as a child trusts his parents. Now we know that if we give ourselves wholly and to do his will and work, then we may ask and receive that he has in store for us gifts to satisfy the deepest craving of the heart. gifts lasting as eternity, and that if we only go to Him as little children and take Him at His word, all these promises in His word shall be ours. Okay, let's go now to the next theme, the spoil of spoil taken by the lamb and the wheat. This subject is found in Isaiah 33, and we'll start with verse 1. Woe unto thee that spoileth, and thou wast not spoil, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoil, and when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. Taking into consideration what follows in this chapter, and the next two chapters, but chapter 34 and 35 are a part of the subject that is in chapter 33, it becomes clear that the one upon whom woe is pronounced is the church preceding the great and dreadful day of it. The day in which the sinners of Zion perish, the day in which the repentant ones are given their reward, the day of the Yahshua's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Isaiah 34:8. A church is specially pointed out by the fact that, unlike the Old Testament church, she has been spoiling but has not been spoiled, that she has been dealing treacherously, that she herself has not been so dealt with. This verse, however, goes on to forecast a reverse of this situation. The church shall be spoiled and dealt with treacherously. His faithful ones in the midst of her, however, shall find grace. For they plead, Isaiah 33:2. O Yahweh, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in a time of trouble. This verse shows that while the pronouncement of the woe, Isaiah 33:1, is being made, at the same time a deep-rooted reformation is taking place among Elohim's truth-seeking people. They are praying not for themselves alone, but for their brethren also, for they fully realize that they are approaching the time of the trouble, and their hope lies in the fact that they have waited for the Yahweh. Elohim's power shall be felt throughout the earth, Isaiah 33:3. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. Now, this verse reveals that when Elohim manifests his power among his people, the world will feel the effects of it, Isaiah 33:4. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of the locust shall he run upon them. For the spoils which the church has acquired, he gathers as the gathering of the caterpillar. Then it shall be said, Isaiah 33:5, the Yahweh is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. When these things take place in Zion, the church purified will be filled with judgment and righteousness. Moreover, Elohim's faithful ones have this assurance, Isaiah 33:6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of the salvation, for the fear of the Yahweh is his treasure. But concerning their unrepentant mighty ones, inspiration declares, Isaiah 33:7. Behold, their violent ones shall cry without, the ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. Here we see that those who are proclaiming peace rather than the day of the Yahweh shall weep bitterly. Isaiah 33:8. The highways, lyways, the wayfaring man, Ephesus, he hath broken the covenant, he hath despised the cities, he regardeth no man. In the language of today, this verse would read, the mission, missionary roots lie waste. The missionary is self-seeking. He has broken his contract. He has despised the cities. He regards no man. Isaiah 33:9. The earth mourneth and languishes. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. The nouns in this verse being profoundly figurative and the time of the fulfillment yet future, we are unprepared to make any comments. Isaiah 33:10. Now will I rise, saith the Yahweh. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. At the time the conditions have here described materialized, then it is that the Yahweh will arise and be exalted and lifted up. But to those that are at fault, he forewarns. Isaiah 33:11. You shall conceive chaff, you shall bring forth stubble, your breath as fire shall devour you. Turning unto the sinners and hypocrites among his people, those upon whom the woe of the verse 1 is actually pronounced, for the Yahweh reveals that the fruit of their doings shall be chaff and stubble, that their own breath shall devour them as if it were fire. Moreover, concerning their followers, he adds, Isaiah 33:12, and the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Having commenced his purifying work in Zion, he declares, Isaiah 33:13-14, hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. For the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? When the righteous judge rises to sift the people, then the hypocrites will not be boasting that they are just as good Christians as any. Neither will they say any more, we do not need more truth. Instead, fearfulness and surprise will overtake them. For the greatest and most honorable question will then be, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? And here is the all-inclusive answer. Isaiah 33:15-17. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of the bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of the blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of the defense shall be the munition of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Passing from this expression of the divine terror and scene of the beauty, they are next told. Isaiah 33:18. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Terrifying indeed is the realization that those who are found without the wedding garment, among whom are those who hold the highest church offices, and that would have to be the prophet, he holds the highest office, secretary and treasurer, are cast out to weep and gnash their teeth. But the remnant, those who are left, shall be exalted. Unto them the Yahshua says, Isaiah 33:19. Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. For the guests who pass the master's inspections are actually to be made great, be it in comprehension of a deep speech, or be it in understanding of a stammering tongue, none shall be greater than they. For the eyes of the faithful are next directed to the city of Elohim. Isaiah 33:20. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. After the troublemakers have been removed, then Elohim's people will be seen to stand steadfast and sure, standing not even the slightest chance of ever being disturbed, and the saints shall be full of joy even now, they exclaim. Isaiah 33:21-22. But there the glorious Yahweh will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Yahweh is our judge, the Yahweh is our lawgiver. Let's look at that again. For the Yahshua is our judge. The Yahshua is our lawgiver. The Yahshua is our king. He will save us. So we're talking about Yahshua. Isaiah's talking about Yahshua all the way through all this. All these things shall be ours if we are but faithful unto the end. Again, addressing the church that is approaching the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, he declared in verse 23, "Thy tackles are loose. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. And then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame take the prey. They that obey not the voice of Yahweh are here forewarned that the day is at hand when they will find themselves unable any longer to gather spoil. And it is that their spoil shall be divided, and the lame, the seemingly weak and helpless, shall take the prey." Isaiah 33:24. "And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity." Just think, in a little while, if we be faithful, no longer will any of us need to say, I am sick. Now to review a few of the high points of our study upon the unfaithful who are approaching the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. Eliab pronounced a curse. The church is to be stripped of the spoil which she has acquired, and is to be dealt with treacherously, just as she has dealt with others. Very obviously, at the time this pronouncement is made, a deep-rooted reformation is taking place among the Elohim's truth-seeking people, for they recognize the fact that they are approaching the time of the trouble, and they are reassured that their stability and strength of the salvation are to be found in their wisdom and knowledge, in the Spirit, and in the truth for the day. For the fear of the Yahweh is to be their greatest treasure. When Elohim manifests his power among his people, even the world will feel the effect of it. Therefore, the missionary roots lie waste. The missionary himself ceases. He regards no man. Elohim reveals that the fruit of the sinners and hypocrites among his people shall be chaff and stubble. Their own breath shall devour them as if it were fire. Fearfulness and surprise shall overtake them. Then it is at the Mount Zion, at the 12th hour, the church purified is to be filled with judgment and righteousness. This is the house of David now. Elohim is at that time to be exalted. Yahshua is at that time to be exalted and lifted up. His people who have walked uprightly shall be blessed with his divine care. Their eyes shall see the King and his beauty. The church shall be steadfast and sure, never to be disturbed. The spoil which the denomination has acquired will be taken by the lame, by the Elohim's true people. They shall be forgiven their iniquities, and their health shall be restored. There's that restored again. It's going to be their health. It's going to be restored. Yes, the promise to you is sure. Thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of Yahweh shall be thy reward. Isaiah 58:8. If you will but give heed to the solemn warning and remain faithful unto it. Okay, that's the end of volume 1, number 34, actually. So that was number 34 instead of 33. Okay, let's go right on into our next study. We're actually going to be number 35, Congregation Volume 1, and entitled, "A Nation See Eden Perish, Desert Blossom, and a Highway to Zion." Let's just get right on into it. It says, our subject for this afternoon is found in Isaiah 34 and 35. Now, it says that last week, you recall, we studied the 33rd chapter, the Yahweh's burden concerning the church as she approaches the time of the harvest. The church he's talking about is Mount Zion's 11th Hour, Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, the Isaac Branch Davidians. Brother W. Johnson, that is the leader. This is the church he's talking about that approaches the time of the harvest. Harvest is in the 12th hour, so it could be none other but the church of the 11th hour. So it says, the time that the wheat is put into the barn and the tares burn, in Matthew 13:30. And the wheat is put into the barn in the 12th hour, and the tares are burned in the 12th hour. The time that the good fish are put into the vessels, and the bad fish cast out, Matthew 13:47-49. As are those who have not the wedding garment on, Matthew 22:1-13. Continuing now into the 34th chapter, we there see that the Elohim invites the nations of the world to draw near and to hear his mighty work of the refining. Isaiah 34:1-3. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of Yahweh is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. Why does Elohim invite the nations of all the earth to draw near and to hear? That they might consider his indignation against the wicked in his church and know what to expect when his judgments are spread out among all nations, that they might know what to expect when his refining work begins among them, that they might therefore beforehand account the cause. His judgment, he declares, is already pronounced upon the armies of the world. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of the Elohim. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of the Elohim? 1 Peter 4:17. Isaiah 34:4. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as a leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a fallen fig from the fig tree. While verse 3 points out that the solemn events of this chapter take place in a day of the gigantic worldwide armament program, verse 4, being parallel with Revelation 6:14, it reveals that they take place in the period of the sixth seal and the days of the sealing of the 144,000 and the gathering of the innumerable multitude out of all nations. The seal that we are now living in, the sixth seal, may overlap the seventh. Okay. But we know that the sixth seal supposedly brought to close the judgment of the dead with the Gilead Center in 2002, and which it did. But the sixth seal overlapped through Ezekiel 9. And it overlapped for another 7 years, I can tell you that, into 2010. It overlapped, but the seventh seal also kicked in for the house of David, and it brought a close to the house of Esau at Kermit, Texas, 2002. That's what the seventh seal did. But the sixth seal, because it had a 40-year period for Gilead Center, the sixth seal dominated that 40-year period of time for Verlis W. Johnson, because he continued on after we were separated from him. He continued on with his group until he was totally disabled. Then his son Daniel took up for he and carried on, publishing the creation calendar, showing that they were still carrying on the work of Gilead Center. Okay, Isaiah 34:5-11. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Yahshua is filled with the blood. It is made fat with the fatness, and with the blood of the lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Yahweh hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorns that shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with the blood, and their dust made fat with the fatness. For it is the day of the Yahshua's vengeance, and the year of the recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever from generation to generation. It shall not lie waste, and none shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it, the owl also, and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of the confusion and the stones of the emptiness. For the immediate curse we see rest upon Idumea. And typically speaking, it is the land of the antitypical Esauites, those who by the rights should have kept the office, which the antitypical Jacobites take away from them. They so underestimate its value that they, like Esau of old, sell their rice for a dish of red pottage, as it were. For the further study on the subject, see The Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, page 52 to 111. Okay, that's good information. Isaiah 34:12. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all her princes shall be nothing. Evidently, after the destruction falls upon Idumea, none of her so-called nobles shall be found there to participate in the Exodus, Isaiah 11:11, unto the antitypical kingdom, the house of the David, the everlasting kingdom of David. The church purified, and her princes shall be as nothing. Then it must be that those who escape and enter into the everlasting kingdom of the David are mostly from among the common people, those from the streets and the lands of Luke 14:16-21. That's what we're looking at right now. The last of what we had with us is gone. And there was just two of us, four of us left. Now there's only two of us left. In the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of Elohim, and he cannot use them. Thanks goodness we have people allied with us in Africa. We were so beholden to Jeff White and his people there, the work that he's doing. And we appreciate that so much, because at least we have that to show, that Yahweh is mighty in his word by the Spirit. He can raise up nations without the presence of his leaders even being there. Okay, they are self-sufficient, independent of Elohim. He cannot use them. Testimony for the Church, Volume 5, page 80. Only those who have withstood temptation and strengthened the mighty one will be permitted to act a part in the proclaiming of the third angel's message, when it shall have swelled into the loud cry. Review and Herald, November 18, 1908. Okay, Isaiah 34:13-15. And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof, and it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. For the wild beast of the desert shall also meet with the wild beast of the island, and the satyr shall cry unto his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there, and find for herself a place of the rest. There shall the great owl make her nest, and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Elohim does not forsake the earth. He does not forego his power, nor his interest in the truth and righteousness. He does not let the world go into oblivion. What he does do, though, is make examples of some in order to save many others. For when the judgments of Elohim are upon the earth, the inhabitants will learn righteousness, Isaiah 26:9. Let's go look at that from the scriptures itself. I think it says when Yahweh's judgments are in the earth, not upon the earth. There's a difference. Let's read it now from Isaiah 26:9 from the KJV. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early, for when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Okay. It says, let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Yeshua. Okay, that's pretty good. Now let's go on to where we left off on page 22. It says that is it armament then that the nations of the day need for peace and security? Is the atomic war to be their fear? What they need to fear is the sword of the Yeshua. For his sword shall be bathed in heaven, it shall come down upon Idumea. That means the house of Edom, Adventist Church, and upon the people of his curse. Okay, so the people of his curse, but the whole Adventist Church, when the judgment of the dead ended, and they brought the gospel to a close for them, with their angel of the seventh candlestick, let us hear, 2002. They need not fear anything if they fear the Yeshua. Let them make him their fear, their dread, and protection. Isaiah 8:13. Now it says the greatest gift that you can have is the fear of Yahweh and his son, Yeshua. It's to fear them. That's the greatest gift that you can have, to develop a healthy fear for them. Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read, and no one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth if it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. Elohim here counsels us to search the Bible and to implicitly believe that not one of his prophecies shall fail. No, not one shall fail to follow another in his turn. And why should we have this confidence? Because Elohim himself has commanded, and because his spirit, not the wisdom of the efforts of men, has gathered into a single volume the writings of the books of the old, the book of the Yahweh, the non-sectarian Bible as we know it today, Isaiah 34:17. And he hath cast a lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by the line, and shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. Regardless whether we take this verse to say that the wild beast shall possess it forever, or whether we take it to say that those who seek out of the book of the Yahweh shall possess it forever, our greatest concern must be to personally acquaint ourselves with the Yeshua and his truth. For if we would gain his favor and find a shelter in this time of the trouble, behold, a king shall reign in the righteousness, and princes shall rule in the judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 32:1-2. Now we shall go on into the 35th chapter of the Isaiah, which is but a continuation of the 34th, Isaiah 35:1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. What a difference when the Yahweh manifests his power and purifies his church. Well, that's what he's done. He's purified the house of David now. We finally got the final purification for this year, the 2014, and it says, what happens when that happens? It says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. That desert we left out in West Texas is going to blossom as a rose. What a difference when Elohim manifests his power and purifies his church. Then the lands of the Gentiles, the wilderness, and the land of the heathen, the solitary place, shall both be glad to see Elohim's holy people, finally, as Elohim's truth for this time penetrates throughout the land where there are no Christians at all, the desert places shall blossom as a rose, so to speak, and thus yield an abundant harvest of the souls, Isaiah 35:2-4. They shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with the joy and singing. For the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of Yahweh and the excellency of our Elohim. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Elohim will come with a vengeance, even Elohim with a recompense. He will come and save you. Let's do that again. Say unto them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Yahshua, your Savior, will come with a vengeance, even Yahshua with a recompense. He will come and save you. For this great commission and opportunity for the proclaiming of the Yahshua's soon coming vengeance are ours. We must not fail to take advantage of these privileges. With the mighty message for this time, we must strengthen the weak. We must make firm the knees that are given out. Those who are unable to stand up and hold their own must be strengthened. We must reassure the fearful that Elohim is to come with the vengeance against the unbelieving and with the recompense for the faithful, Isaiah 35:5-6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams of the truth in the desert. You got parentheses of the truth. When these things take place, then it will be just as natural for the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to leap, and the dumb to sing. Yes, as natural as blossoms are followed with the fruit. Okay, it says Elohim's truth of this time is to spread everywhere and heap a great harvest of the souls. I saw just as the light shining from the cities and villages and from the high places and the low places of the earth, that Elohim's word was obeyed, and as a result there were memorials for him in every city and village. His truth was proclaimed throughout the world. Testimony, Volume 9, page 28. For if but one soul saved from every village, a city and village, there would be several times 144,000 living souls, Isaiah 35:7. And the parched ground, the places which are now entirely devoid of the truth, shall become a pool, and the thirsty land, the land that thirsts for the Elohim's truth, springs of the water, and the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. There shall be fruitage, you see, even where the dragons lie, Isaiah 35:8. And an highway shall be there, and a way of it shall be called the way of holiness, and the unclean, for the unclean shall not pass over it. Verily it shall be for those of the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. None shall be left in the wilderness, for there shall be a highway for all the followers of the Elohim's truth. Matters not what the faithful be, illiterate or otherwise, they shall not err therein. Indeed, all the wheat shall be gathered and put into the barn, the kingdom. See tract number 3, the judgment and the harvest, Isaiah 35:9. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Once the hypocrites are taken out, they shall not be allowed to return and to endanger the peace of the Elohim people. Only the redeemed shall walk on the highway of the holiness. And where does the highway lead? Next verse gives the answer, Isaiah 35:10. And the ransom of the Yahshua shall return and come to Zion with the songs and everlasting joy up on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and Zion shall flee away. Yes, the highway leads to Zion. With songs and everlasting joy shall the redeemed enter therein. Nevermore the sorrow or the sigh, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Psalm 96:13. Brother, sister, the sacrifices we may be called to make are as nothing in the comparison unto the privilege of the heading for the Zion via the highway of the holiness. Ponder upon this. Then ask, let nothing deter you from complying with Elohim's truth before there's time, for the day in which the nations see Edom perish and the desert blossom. Act now while the highway unto Zion is in the preparation. We all went under the tree and sat down to look at the glory of the place. When Brother Fisher and Stockman, who had preached the gospel of the kingdom and whom Elohim had laid in the grave to save them, came up to us and asked us what we had passed through while they were sleeping, we tried to call up our greatest trials, but they looked so small compared with the far more exceeding and eternal weight of the glory that surrounded us that we could not speak them out, and we all cried out, Hallelujah, heaven is cheap enough, and we touched our glorious hearts and made heaven's arches ring. Early Writings, page 17. Well, that brings the end of Time of Reading, volume 1, number 35. Let's fast forward now to his 12th symbolic code, number 5. We're going to bring our meeting to a close with a little bit of reading here. It says, our study is based upon Isaiah 41, 21 to 23. Produce your cause, saith the Yahweh. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods, do good or do evil, that we may know, may be dismayed and behold it together. For the Elohim is challenging the world not only to predict the future, but to explain also what bearing the past has on the future, that they may show that they are gods. For the challenge itself implies that none but Elohim knows the latter end of the former things. Now let us read Isaiah 41:4. Who has wrought and done it, calling the generation from the beginning? I, the Yahshua, the first and with the last, I am He. For the Yahshua, the Son, here propounds the question as to who had foreseen and declared the generations that were to come from the very beginning, even to the very end of time. Then He answered His own question, I, the Yahshua, I am He. In other words, in the Revelation, he says, I am the first and the last. Okay, this brings the close of our study. So our contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives, hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song. My Yah and I go in the field together. My Yah and I go in the together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My Yah and I walk through the meadows too. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My Yah and I walk through the meadows here. He tells me all the years that went before me, when heavenly plans were made for me to be. And all was but a dream of deep conception, to come to life as burden no receive. And all was but a dream of deep conception, who come to law, his burden glory see. My Yah and I will go for I to together. We walk and talk, just as good friends do. This earth will pass, and with its common trifle, my heart will go on in me. This earth will pass, and with its common trifle, but your hand on.